Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rebecca. I'm a grateful recovering addict, and I'm really grateful to be here as speaker. I had every excuse today to cancel. I'm suffering. I have some sciatic nerve issue going on, and I have a cold, and my cat has an ear infection, and it's just been a week, you know? And I thought about it last night. I thought about texting Judy and telling her I couldn't come. And I clearly heard a voice say, "Don't do that. Don't do that, girl. The more you're suffering, the more you need those people." So here I am. You know, I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning to make sure I was ready. And here I am. And so if I sound a little, it's because I'm sick. I started a program when I turned 30, and I am 58 years old. So I've been in program for 28 years. And I came to OA after, in my late 20s, my weight just started going up and away. And my doctor said, "You better get that under control." And the more somebody told me to get it under control, the worse it was getting. And it was my birthday in April, and I had eaten all the birthday food, and I just knew that there was something really wrong with me. And so I went to my first meeting in a little church basement here in Montreal, where I'm from. And I was early, and I almost left. And then this lady walked in, and I've known her ever since. I still know her phone number by heart, like I memorized her phone number. And when I was struggling, that was my mantra. I used to repeat in my mind her phone number. And because I struggled, I struggled, and relapse after relapse after relapse. And what I've learned now, 28 years later, is that I wasn't here for a 12-step program. I didn't really care about the 12 steps. I just wanted you to help me with my food and help me figure out how to stay, on a diet. I wanted to stick to a food plan, and lose weight and just be normal with food. That was my goal. And as the years went by, I really thought I was going to figure it out, like how to crack the code. There was a secret code, and I was going to be the one to crack it. And so I struggled and struggled, and I was diagnosed with binge eating disorder in my 30s. I could not stop eating. I just couldn't. And I had children, and my children had both had medical issues. I had had a bunch of miscarriages. I have a condition called PCOS, which is also like a perfect setup for an eating disorder. Because my hormones were out of whack, and I have insulin resistance, and that puts me at risk for all kinds of medical stuff. And then I was obese, and that puts you at risk. So, my life has just been chaotic. And so the more chaotic things got, though, the more I wanted to eat. I just couldn't stop. I didn't know how to deal with life without food. And still, it didn't occur to me that the steps were the answer. I tried, and then as the years went by, and my family was suffering, like I said, both my kids were born with really serious medical issues. My daughter was a premature baby. She was born at 24 weeks, and she weighed just over 1 pound. And what do you think I did? I ate and ate and ate. It was the only way I knew how to cope with life. Then 8 years later, my son came along, and he had a congenital heart defect and has had several open heart surgeries. And I ate and I ate. And then my husband became very ill. He was mentally ill, and he started drinking and taking drugs. And I left him, and he died a few years later. And I ate and I ate and I ate. Like, I just couldn't deal with life without food. And so a couple of years ago, I was off work with some medical problems, and I was lonely and tired of eating. And I realized, you know what, I think meetings are online now because of COVID. I'm going to go check this out, you know. So I got myself this iPad and set it up, and I started going to meetings, and I had a little book, and I started writing down all the meetings that I enjoyed. And I quickly realized that I'm a morning person. And I started painting, and I would come to meetings and paint and listen, talk, paint. And I did this for quite a while before something started to click for me. And I can't explain, you know, and I really, at this point, I thought I was doing so much better too. So I was in this type of denial because, like, the binge eating disorder that I experienced in my 30s didn't exist anymore in my 50s. So in my mind, I was doing pretty good, you know, because I wasn't binging anymore. But I was still like almost 300 pounds again, you know, and I was really overweight. I couldn't even walk to the corner at times without, oh, this hurt, that hurt, and I was out of breath. And at one point, I had to go for a breathing test, and my doctor said, oh, I think you have COPD. And then I went to see a lung specialist. He said, can I just be blunt with you? You don't have COPD. You need to lose weight. The fat is causing you to have problems to breathe, you know? I have sleep apnea. I have high blood pressure. Like, I'm going to die if I keep overeating. I'm going to die. I'm at risk for diabetes, you name it. And I was in my third failing relationship with a man, you know? So my life was a mess, but I didn't think my life was a mess. I thought everybody else had problems, and I just needed to figure out how to get the food issues under control. That's all I wanted. Up until a few years ago, but it wasn't like a conscious thing. I know it now because I've been abstinent for 2.5 years, and because I come to one, two, three meetings every day, and I listen and I talk and I do the work, and I actually live by the steps now, and I go to retreats, and you know, it's a lot of work to be me, a lot of work. But if I don't do the work, the other option for me at this point is, I feel like, is suffering and a slow declining path to death. So I have that choice, you know. And so yeah, so the meetings day after day, just that, you know, re repetition. And then I started hearing things that clicked, you know, things I had never heard before at the little meetings here in Montreal, where there was just like three ladies in a basement somewhere. God love those ladies. Thank God they were there. It was my introduction to all of this, but I really needed all of you. I needed a broader picture of what was going on in my life, you know. And I've had the same sponsor, by the way, for since way back then, and she's wonderful. I love her. I love her. I'm so blessed to have that woman in my life. But I needed more, and you all were the more that I needed. And so and then I learned about this chronic forgetfulness that I have. And when I heard that the first time, I was like, oh, it's so simple, but it took me so long to figure that out. You know, like every day I would just forget that I was a compulsive overeater. Oh, maybe today's the day that I can eat ice cream. No, it's not today. And so finally, you know, 2.5 years ago, after saying to myself, well, I'm not doing so bad anymore, you know, because I don't binge the way I used to. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I knew my relationship was in trouble, and he looked at me and he said, I know you don't want me to be your food police, but can I tell you that I'm worried about you? He said. And the next day I thought, yeah, you know what? Something is really wrong with me. And let me just stop eating sugar. Let me just stop eating sugar. We'll start with that. And then I thought, well, you know what? Let me stop eating all the carbs for now. And so I did. I stopped eating all the carbs for a while. And I just took it one day at a time. And I was coming to meetings every day and reaching out to people And then I went to a retreat and I heard the retreat leader say, he said, I'm going to say things that might be controversial, but you take it or leave it, right? And he said, I want people to know that this is not a tool program. This is a 12-step program. The tools are wonderful, use them, but you're here to practice the 12 steps. And people come here and they talk about the tools, the tools, the tools. Yes, they're very wonderful, the tools. But if you're not working the steps, you're just here looking for a diet because we're here for recovery and the recovery is found in the steps. And so I said, okay, I went up to that man that I hardly knew and said, can you help me, please? Can you help me? And he said, yes, he'll help me, but it has to be urgent. You have to take this seriously and it has to be urgent. So I urgently went through the 12 steps again, like I had been through them before, but in the past it was just kind of like homework that I did. And now every day I think about the steps and in regards to what I'm going through. And I started keeping a gratitude list, which I thought was so cliche, like, oh, I have to be grateful. But slowly, slowly, I started learning how miserable I was and what a character defect that had become for me, being stuck in my misery, almost like being addicted to being miserable, I had every reason to be miserable. I mean, for God's sake, my husband died from alcoholism. My children, like I have every reason to be miserable, just like I had every reason to cancel this morning because I'm miserable. I'm sick, blah, blah, blah. No, I need recovery. Recovery comes first in my life now. And so it's really perfect that I can come to a meeting at 5, 6, 7 in the morning and put recovery first in the day, literally. And so working those steps, even after I went through the steps with that man, I didn't fully grasp what was happening. And recently, I caught myself writing on my gratitude list that I was so grateful for steps 6 and 7. And I'm like, what is happening to me? But I'm so grateful to be aware and to know that I have shortcomings and character defects. And it's not just all about the food. The food was just the way I coped with life. It's about me being stuck in a cycle of depression and misery and using food to cope with all of that. And so now and that relationship that was failing after, when I did get abstinent, did blow up. And I went through the worst heartbreak in my life. It was worse than when my husband died for some reason. It did me in. Last summer, I wanted to die, but I was abstinent. I stayed abstinent. And then I started to realize, like, I really need to work this program. Like, now I'm abstinent, but I need to get over all of these character defects and this depression and misery. And so back to the steps and back to meetings day after day after day. And I don't know if that sounds hopeful because it's a lot of trudging along that I do day after day. Because I have a brain that thinks differently than other people, my brain tells me false information day after day. I do things, I overthink so much. I do things like, I tell myself stories about what you think about me. I do that to myself frequently. This week, I think my boss is mad at me. I haven't even seen her yet, but I think she's mad at me. And, it's just an
Five
ongoing.
minutes left.
Thank you for letting me know. So I need to work on that, and I'm always, looking at it from the angle of the steps now. Character defects, shortcomings, all of that stuff. And the biggest thing I had to do too was accept my life as it is. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems. Page, what is it? Page 417 in the big book. Acceptance is, and that man, that same man, he told me to write it down. The first promise of the big book is that thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism, and I'm sure it's more than thousands now. And that's the very first promise that this program tells us, that if we do this work, if we learn about what others are doing, we can recover from our addictions. And I was addicted. I didn't even realize, when I was a young adult, I was drinking and taking drugs. I never referred to myself as an alcoholic or a drug addict, but I clearly was looking back. So I just never wanted to cope with life without some kind of numbing agent in my life. And through all that misery, I also figured out that I didn't believe in God anymore. Like, God had given me too much misery. So this program was not going to help me. And but like I said, coming to meetings every morning and hearing everything, I finally, it just clicked, finally figured out what my higher power was to me. And it doesn't have to be the same as yours. You can call it God. I choose not to say he or she. If anybody is non-binary, it's God. That's just the way I do my program. Every day now I have a couple of sponsees. And I'm very grateful for those ladies in my life. They call me every week, and it's like such an honor that anybody would want to call me and talk about their recovery with me. Like, who am I, and I'm just I just have this spiritual awakening now because of everything I've been through, to get to this point. Like, it's been hard. Life has really kicked my ass. And I'm still here though, and I'm happy and I'm good. And I lost a bit of weight. I still have more weight to lose, but I've started hiking now. Remember before I said I couldn't even walk to the corner? Now I've started hiking. Like, I'm going up to the top of mountains, climbing rocks, and the guy that I broke up with, I treated that breakup in a different way instead of being miserable and rotten to him. And we are best friends now. I didn't throw that love out the window because things didn't work out the way I thought they should have, and then my son moved out, and empty nest syndrome is a real thing. And I've been alone now for about 6 months. And the first thing my brain thought was, you're alone. You can eat anything you want now. So I still battle those thoughts, even though I've been abstinent for 2.5 years. It's like
One
good
minute
me,
left.
thank you, good me, bad me, And when those thoughts come, I just say, ha ha ha, you're so funny, go away, because I'm not gonna start eating all the sugar again. I did take back carbs. I said in the beginning, I gave up all the carbs. Like, I went. And then slowly I started testing. Can I eat a potato? Can I eat, And now I do eat carbs, but I never will take back sugar, recreational sugar, I hear some people calling it. Never, never will I eat sugar, hopefully, one day at a time. And so grateful when somebody asks me to speak, because the critic inside me is like, nobody wants to hear what you have to say, Rebecca. And I'm just like, it's okay, be quiet. We'll go speak. And thank you for having me. Thank you for being here every morning to share your recovery with me, because that's how I got better, listening to all of you. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your experience.